Hello and welcome everyone, friends, family, online, on the podcast. If you are new in exploring the Beloved City Church family today, welcome. We're glad that you're here with us. Or maybe you're new to exploring faith and matters of spirituality, welcome. We truly are glad that you are here with us in this moment. Friends, I came to preach today, if that's okay. I hope there's someone here in the room or online that will help me out. Throw it in the chat. Help me out a little bit today. We're not a quiet church. It's okay to grunt and to say amen or preach or I'm here or whatever that looks like. Clap your hands. This helps me to ensure that you are getting what is being set before you at this table. I pray that each of you will walk away today from this gathering or from this online moment with something that you have received from Jesus that will change you, small or big, something that's changing you in your life. God's transforming you through the Holy Spirit. We are in part two of a message series in the book of 1 Peter. We're exploring 1 Peter, and I'm enjoying this book. I don't know about you. And we're picking up some high points in this book of 1 Peter as we journey through the next few weeks. If you missed last week, we learned that Peter was writing to a group of people that were severely persecuted. He wrote this letter to the church somewhere between 60 and 65 AD. And if you missed last week at all, just jump on the podcast or on YouTube and you'll find last week's episode there. Peter wrote this book during a time when a very evil emperor named Nero was causing all sorts of problems, not just for Jesus' followers, but for many others as well. And whenever Nero, we also learned last week that he was most likely burned the city, his very own city of Rome, and he actually blamed this burning on the Jesus followers and said it was those people that did it. And so what was already kind of a bad situation, a bad environment, became much worse. Now, Peter wrote these letters to suffering people, and Peter was essentially trying to increase their faith, to increase their hope, to give them hope, actually. And he continually reminded them that this world is not your home, friends. You're just passing through. You're sojourners in this world. This is not your home. You are traveling through it. We have a different destination. And because this world is not your home, Peter said, God is calling you to be divergent, to be different from the host culture that you're living in. Different or becoming different from something else. That's what divergent means. God is calling you, friends, to be different. Now, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are called to be divergent. You'll have differing values and rhythms, differing passions and motivations, differing use of your time and differing use of your resources. You will be different as a parent. You'll be different in your sexual engagements. You'll be different as a spouse. You'll be different in the way that you work. Friends, like the recipients of this letter from 1 Peter in 1 Peter, God is likewise still calling us to be divergent, different, and becoming different than our host culture, our world. So let's jump into the scripture. 1 Peter 1 and verse 13, we'll continue from there. I want you to feel the weight of these words. Peter said, therefore, now when we say therefore, it's like pay attention. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you. When Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming, when he comes again, he's saying, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. So ignorance of this grace in Christ Jesus. But just as he who has called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, God says, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially. Peter says, live out your time as foreigners in this host culture there in reverent fear and respect. Another version says, live out your time as temporary residents. In other words, this world, friends, is not our home. You have a different home. You're just passing through this environment in this world that we're living in. You have a higher calling. God is calling you to be different while you're here. Friends, the problem for many people in our culture today, if I can be really honest with you today, the problem for many of us is this. The biggest obstacle to you and I living a fully devoted life for Jesus is our desire to fit in. The biggest obstacle for many of us is to be faithful to God's call to relentlessly follow him is our longing to look like everybody else around us, to belong to this world, to fit in. But Holy Spirit, I'm praying, even right now, would you nudge hearts in this room, nudge hearts online. If this is you, Jesus follower, I hope you will begin to understand that God did not call you to be liked or to fit in, to conform to this world and its rhythms and patterns and motivations and desires. But he called you out of this world, plucked you out of sin, and he's brought you into his marvelous light and gave you a different life, a new life. He called you to have divergent faith, to have divergent values and morals. We're told through scripture not to conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Peter says, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Now you've been transformed. You're a different person. Friends, we were never called to blend in. As Jesus followers, we are called by God to stand out, to be set apart, to be different in the way that we live and all of our rhythms, patterns, motivations, and everything that we do, friends. Why would we want to be normal anyways, right? Have you looked around you lately? Have you been on TikTok or Instagram or walked through a mall lately to maybe taking a close look at a relationship around you, near you? Normal is broke. Normal is in bondage to all kinds of addictive behaviors. Normal is full of fear. Normal is divorce. Normal is tension. Normal is sleepless nights and anxiety. Normal is not liking the job that you're in and picking apart everything that you see, fighting depression. That's what normal is, right? Friends, I don't want anything to do with normal. I want off the normal bus, the normal road. Jesus actually talks a little bit about this normal road. He called it a path that is broad and wide, and many people are on it, he says. But he said, there is a different road that I call you to walk on. And this one's much more narrow, and the gate is much smaller. He said, only a few people are on this road or even find it. He says, it's this way, for broad is the road and wide is the path that leads towards destruction, but narrow is the one that leads to life eternal, and only a few people find it. That's what Jesus said. And it's my prayer today in this moment that you and we and I would be amongst those few. And because of the passion of those few here in this room or listening online, that there would be many more and more and more people that would find the path. Why? Because we invite and invest into this mission of Jesus Christ. It's not the normal path on which most travel. It's okay to not be normal, friends. God has called you and I, and is still calling you and I, to be set apart, to be holy, to be divergent, to be different, and becoming different. I want to pray just for a few moments with you. So Father, today I pray and ask that you would do what I don't even have the power to do, that you would personalize this message into the hearts and minds of every single person listening here today. God, for those who are far from you or far from God, I pray that your spirit would draw them close, would nudge them. For those who know you today, God, that you would open up their hearts for you to show us any areas in our own life that would be displeasing to you. Shore up within us, God, the desire to be holy and to be different, to be set apart from the world around us in all that we do, that we could love you faithfully, that we would please you by living honorably and be a light into a very dark world. God, we thank you, and help us to be different for your glory, not for our glory, but for your glory in all that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look to the person, if you're sitting at home on your couch, look to the person on the left of you and to the right of you and say, you look different today. Is that okay? Now, if any of you here have it all figured out, feel like you have achieved perfection, don't really need to grow anymore, I want to give you a moment to slip out and maybe to turn this channel off, as this message is not for you. I know that I'm not perfect, and I hope some of you listening here today are at that same point in your life. You've realized I'm not perfect. So I'm going to be sticking around here for the next few moments to hear what God has for me today as well through this lesson. Every time we open our doors, every time this channel is on, we want to be listening for what God has to say. I want to linger in the presence of God, to be gathered with his people, to be refreshed, to learn how to be more like Jesus. And so just to be real with you and to remind you how imperfect I am, I'm going to share a quick story. Pastor Angela and I were married for about a year and a bit. We didn't fight or argue when we were dating, and for quite some time, even after we made our covenant in marriage before God, we didn't fight. We enjoyed being together. We laughed and played and did all kinds of exploring. We were so in love, nearly perfect. One day, we went to church on a Sunday morning, and on our way home, my loving wife was commenting on my driving skills. I don't know about you, if you love being, you know, critiqued in your driving skills, men and women out there, how they weren't as skilled as maybe they could be, riding too close to the rear of that slow person in the fast lane. Frustrating, right? We argued a bit, and I steamed, and she vented, and I remember at that moment, my supposed bad driving skills became much worse at that point now. I sped home, and I took every turn and corner like I was a NASCAR driver, didn't even slow down for the curb ramp into my driveway, and probably got a little bit of air, actually, as I hit and launched that 30 feet to the garage. I roared up to that 30-foot driveway, screeched up to an abrupt halt, inches from the garage door. I said a bad word, probably even a couple, as I rapidly got out of the car and slammed my door, and I slammed it so hard And the door was all crooked and ajar. It was funny on its hinges. Now, you may be wondering, I know you picked out this part. Now, Pastor Chris, what was the bad word that you said? I know, detail. You love details, don't you? Nobody was laughing at the time, though. Now, when we talk about these moments in our lives, we laugh about them sometimes, don't we? See, sometimes our God-designed mouths and minds and lives that are designed to proclaim His life-changing good news, to lift praise and give good worship to God, can also utter displeasing and hurtful things. We often attempt to normalize these episodes, these things, and develop excuses for ourselves, like, well, I was sweaty, or I was frustrated, or whatever it might be. It was a hot day. I vented. What else is a guy to do, right? That guy was going so slow. We excuse ourselves. The problem is, God did not call us to be normal, to be like our world. He called us to be different. And sometimes you have to train yourself to stop saying these four-letter words or behaving and venting in that way. It might even take some time. And your inside feelings and inside words might not even match your outward behaviors and words for a little while. It takes the hard work of retraining your brain, and much more than the discipline that you can be applying in your life. It takes also, though, the internal transformation done by the Holy Spirit, by the grace and the power of God. And with that, I want to look again today at the words of Peter, who is speaking to a group of very hurting Christians who are frustrated and maybe a little bit out of shape too. And perhaps today the Spirit of God might speak to some of you in a way that would stir you, would prompt you, move you, lead you to be set apart, because God has not called us to be the same as our world and not to blend into our world, but He's called us to be divergent from the world, this host culture that we're living in. So let's look to see what He teaches us in His word, picking back up in 1 Peter 1 and verse 14. Now, Peter said, he said it this way. He says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. So in other words, there was a time in your life that you didn't know any better. And some of you here today, that might be where you are. You're doing some things that as a pastor, I might say that's not the wisest thing to do, but you haven't yet quite learned. You haven't yet grown. You haven't been yet transformed by Jesus. And there was a time when you weren't really accountable as much because you didn't know, but now you know so much better. Peter said, but just as God, who has called you as what? Just as He has called you is holy. So be holy in all that you do. Then it goes on to say, for it is written, because be holy because I am holy. Be holy because I am holy. So be holy in all that you do. Now, what I hope you'll notice is what this text does not say, and I believe this is really important because many people want to believe that it says this and it's how they actually want to live their life. It does not say, be happy in all you do, because I am happy, you're called to be happy. Did you notice that? It doesn't say that to be happy in all that you do. Many people today, including us Jesus-y kind of people, especially in the Western version of Christianity, so many people believe that God's highest calling and purpose for us in this life and in this world is our happiness. The problem is happiness is most often based on our surroundings and happenings. And our surroundings and happenings don't always make us happy, do they? Sometimes happenings may be unhappy in our life, yet there is something greater than our happiness, and that is a joy that can come from a deep and abiding relationship with Christ. This joy is deep. It's a deep, settling contentment and rest. Joy. But I also hope you'll also understand this. God's happiness is not your highest calling either. God's holiness for you is a higher priority than your happiness, friends. Let me say it again. We need to get this and truly feel this today. God's highest calling for Jesus followers is not their happiness. His highest calling is your holiness. And He's called us to be set apart. We're talking about divergent values today. The problem with what one may call a happiness theology, in other words, God wants me to be happy above all else kind of theos, the problem with this perspective, this happiness theology, is that it empowers what may be a personal justification. We think, well, if God wants me happy, then I'm able to do something that otherwise would be wrong or unwise. Let me say that again. We think, well, if God wants me to be happy, then I am actually able to do something that otherwise would be wrong or unwise. Because why? Happiness is the ultimate goal, right? If God wants me happy and I'm not happy in my marriage, then by all means, I can just walk out the door even though we're in a covenant because I'm no longer happy. If I'm not happy because I don't have that one thing, then I can get this thing even if I have to beg and borrow and steal or go massively in debt because I want this thing and my ultimate goal is to be happy. and I believe this thing will make me happy. I'm dating someone and I know that I should wait until I'm married before we engage in God's gift of love making reserved for marriage. Well, you know, I got my needs, right? I'm a man and it's going to make me happy. And after all, we're in love and we're engaged in our hearts. We're married in our hearts. So that's going to make me happy, right? We see this happiness theology. Or maybe I continually violate and defile my body with toxins on a daily basis. This very temple of God that he said he wants to dwell in you. Why? Because I'm happy. And that's all about me being happy, right? So what does this do? This perspective empowers you to personally justify something, maybe even anything, that otherwise would be wrong or unwise to do. See, when we believe above all else that God wants us to be happy, suddenly discomfort, delay, risk, and inconvenience couldn't possibly be God's will then, right? And suddenly, without even knowing it or realizing it, we begin to worship the false gods of comfort and money and careers and pleasure and things. God is supposed to get me what I want, right? God is supposed to make me happy. We need to understand, friends, that God does not exist to serve us. We exist to serve him and to worship him. And he called us to be set apart for such a purpose. He calls us to be holy. So what does the word holy even mean, right? That's kind of a vague word in some ways. I think religious most often, but it actually comes from a Greek word, and the Greek word is the word hagios. The word hagios is translated as simply holy. It means different, or it means set apart. It means pure. God is calling us to be different, friends, holy, divergent in our faith, divergent in our values. Do not conform to the patterns and rhythms of this world, friends. So if you are ever different in your rhythms, patterns, passions, motivations, or in your desires, you might be following Christ. Let me say this though, if you're not any different from the rest of the world around you, I promise you, you are not following Christ. God calls us to be different and set apart from our world. Now, will you choose alongside me and thousands to millions of others who are fully devoted Jesus followers to live your life as divergent, set apart from our host culture for his good and perfect purposes? Parents, I hope you'll understand. If you want to raise different kids, at some point in your life, you need to be different. If you're not different in any way, how in the world can we expect our children to see the value in following Christ? If you're not different in how you live, or how can you expect your children to have any tolerance to being set apart or different? Guys, girls, if you're looking to find a different kind of spouse who's pure and set apart, someone who is saving their body and intimacy for a godly covenant, you must set your life apart first. Start being divergent to the culture around us. How can you expect something so beautiful if you yourself are unwilling to be disciplined in your mind and body? See, God is calling us to be holy in all that we do. The way I set myself apart from the world to be holy may be a little bit different than you are holy. The standards that we set in our family may be a little bit different than the standards that you set. But the bottom line is we're seeking God for standards that we would believe would be pleasing to him. And friends, we look to scripture to see, to inform our perspective. In fact, Peter goes on to say this. Let's take a look at it in a different translation, actually, different version. It's interesting how the New Living Bible translation, Peter, he says this. He says, so you must live as God's obedient children. And then he says in this version, he says, don't slip back into your old ways to satisfy your own selfish desires. Don't slip back, he says. I like that. Don't slip back. Don't fall back into trouble. Don't slip back into your old life. Because how many of you know already that you can slip into trouble, but you never slip into holiness? I've heard people say, yeah, man, I just fell into sin. But I've never heard anyone say, yeah, I just fell into holiness. I didn't really mean to. I mean, I'm just kind of holy. I got up this morning, was planning on sinning, and I tripped right into holiness. You need to be intentional, friends. It doesn't happen that way. You've got to be intentional to choose to be divergent in your life. But on the other note, we also have an enemy who will cause you to slip up. He's doing everything he can to be sneaky and trip you and to help you fall. You need to understand that your enemy is subtle. He's sneaky. He is real. His name is Satan, that wild old devil, the father of lies, the prince of darkness. Friends, his mission is to steal, kill, and destroy. And because he's sneaky, because he's subtle, he doesn't come up to you and say, hey, why don't you just be a devil worshiper? Hey, have you ever tried sacrificing chickens in your garage? No, he's much sneakier than that. Friends, what he does is the very same thing that he did all the way back in the first book of the Bible, the book of beginnings in Genesis. In the Garden of Eden, when he said to Adam and Eve, did God really say, this is what the enemy does, did God really say, don't eat of the fruit of the tree? Did he really say that? And this is how he's going to attack you and I with a question. And this is one of the greatest deceiving questions that's taking people away from and off of standards of holiness even today, even in the Church of Jesus. And it can and will come across in different ways. Like, did God really say, and you can fill in the blanks, friends, you're supposed to wait until you're married? Did God really say that you need to be part of a local church? Did God really say that you should pray? Surely it's okay to post half-naked photos of myself on Instagram and shake my booty on TikTok, right? Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else does it. Everybody. It gets more views and likes anyways, doesn't it? Isn't this how we think sometimes? Come on, everybody else does it. Did God really say not to watch that Netflix or that Amazon Prime show? I mean, I know it's got some bad stuff in it, but did God really say not to listen to that music with those kind of bad lyrics? I mean, you know, it doesn't really bother me, whatever it is. And friends, this is what makes this message challenging for me to bring to the table. If I don't really want to get hung up on one or two things. Did God really say, whatever it is, I'm a lot better than a lot of people, Pastor Christian, might hear. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm a lot better than most of those people or those peeps. I'm not really doing what they're doing. But friends, a lot of people are not the standard that we follow. Are you getting what I'm putting down on the table this morning or in this moment? A lot of people are not the standard. God calls us as Jesus followers to a divergent life, a different and set apart way of living. Don't look at everyone else around you and compare yourself to being that standard. God calls you to a standard and he writes it in his word and it's beautiful. And in fact, we already talked about this last week, that you can't do it alone. You need other people around you to help you. Yes, life nor ministry is not meant to be done alone. And we do life together in life groups and small groups and micro churches. It's not just a fun add-on. It's actually who we are at Beloved City Church. And it's something that we actually do. It represents the purest form of churching, actually. That is actually what you see in the book of Acts. People coming together and praying and worshiping and reading the scripture and encouraging one another in the first century church and early Christians and many other faithful and spiritually strong people throughout history. It's doing life together with other believers, strengthening one another in the power of God's word, praying together, being united in strength. 1 hour a week on Sunday is not enough, friends. And as I close today, let's ask ourselves the questions and be really honest with ourselves. What are the areas in my life where I struggle most trying to fit in? When is a time I put my happiness above God's call for holiness? What are the biggest ways that I'm different from the world? And if you're a follower of Jesus, what is the area that God wants me to be different in this moment? What is the biggest area that God is showing me that he wants me to be different? Friends, we can come to church and just listen and leave the same way as we came. Or when we can be hearers and doers of the word of God and apply it to our lives. We're letting God's spirit speak to us in this moment, to nudge us, to teach us, to lead us into all righteousness. What is the biggest area that God wants me to be different? You might say, well, why does it even matter? Well, let me close with this scripture in just a few moments. And maybe hopefully you'll see why it matters. In 1 Peter 1, 18 to 21. Peter goes on to say this. He says to these hurting Christians, he says, you need to remember, for you know it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from this empty way of life, handed down from your ancestors. It wasn't with these things that you were set free from the longing for more. He says, but it was with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. It was the sinless Son of God who set you free. It was Jesus that pointed you towards life. It was the risen Son who forgave your sins and made you new. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last days for your sake. Through him you believe in God. Through Christ you believe. Through Christ you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. So your faith and hope are in God. It's through Christ, friends. We need to understand that living holy is not the path to knowing Christ. We need to understand that living holy is not the path to knowing Christ. Living holy, we can't be good enough on our own to please him, friends. Living holy is not the path to knowing Christ. Knowing Christ is the pathway to holiness. And this is so important. When we intimately know Jesus, it's not that I have to do that and I don't get to do that anymore and I wish I could do that one thing. No, our heart on the inside starts to change because of this knowing and this intimate relationship with God instead of, oh, I don't want to, I wish, or I shoulda, coulda. When you live with divergent faith and values, it's like, I don't want to do anything that displeases God. I want to live a life that brings glory to him. I don't care what everybody else thinks or what everyone else is doing. I don't care if they laugh. I don't care if it's different. I don't care if they criticize me. I'm living for an audience of one. Jesus, because of who Jesus is and because of what he did for me. I am divergent. I am proud to be different. I'm not ashamed to confess that I'm set apart because of who he is. And friends, this is key. I'm not talking about an outward behavior modification program. What I'm talking about is an inward spiritual transformation. It's not a, hey, look at me either. I don't say bad words anymore. I'm so amazing. It's, hey, look, I've been changed from the inside out by the power of the Holy Spirit. Out of the overflow of this heart change, my mouth speaks and I have a new heart, so my heart is different. It's not that I'm really trying super hard, like, ooh, I'm trying, seriously, I'm trying to be holy. What it is there are fruits of the Holy Spirit coming out of me because my roots are deep in Christ. Because I'm dwelling in his word, because daily I'm seeking him and his presence, he's making me more like Jesus. And because I'm becoming more like Jesus, not naturally, but supernaturally by his power, I'm starting to live a life worthy of the calling that he set apart for me. It's my heart's prayer today for this house, Beloved City Church, this church, that the Spirit of God would do what I cannot do. And that is to show you any area of your life that would be displeasing to God in this moment. And not out of obligation, not out of I've got to try harder, but out of an inward spiritual transformation, we would be changed from the inside toward the out. Recognizing living holy is not the pathway to living holy. Recognizing living holy is not the pathway to knowing Christ, but knowing Christ is the pathway to living holy. And so with everything in us, we seek him, we pursue him, we linger with him, and we ask him to change our hearts. Thanks, Jesus. Pray with me, would you? Jesus, thank you so much for dying on the cross and making a way for me to be in relationship with you. Thank you for absorbing my sin, my shame, my brokenness, and for healing me of my hurt and my pain. I choose in this moment to receive this extravagant gift of life and ask you to come and live in my heart and to be the Lord and the leader of my entire life. I give you all of me and ask you to lead my life for your glory. Fill me with your Holy Spirit today and help me live the life that you died to give me. Show me how to activate your word in my life. Reveal to us where we can walk in your freedom that you have designed us to walk in. Holy Spirit, reveal any areas in our lives that grieves you or has reduced my interaction with you and your presence from distractions around me or things that grieve you has reduced my interactions with you. Help us to align ourselves with you, God, with your will and your truth and your pathway. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey friends, if you just prayed that prayer with me for the first time and you would like to declare Jesus as your forgiver and leader, let us know. We would love to walk with you as you explore what it means to walk with Jesus. If you would like to publicly declare your decision to follow Jesus by being baptized as Jesus commanded us to do so, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, let us know. We would love to walk this out with you. At Beloved City Church, we are so passionate about what God has called us to do to grow a thriving and life-giving church in this city that is centered around Jesus. Making an impact for eternity, friends, that's what we're doing here in this city. Will you take a step to partner with us at Beloved Church to help us grow the day-to-day ministries? Here's how. You can join our Big Table family, make it official, sign up for our next family discovery night, discover what it means to be a family member of this local church. Join the Grow team, help us serve one another, serve into the body of ministry, work alongside a team here at Beloved City Church. Let's make an impact together. And last but not least, friends, will you prayerfully consider worshiping God with your finances today by giving with your money, by giving financially at Beloved City Church. Help us grow a dynamic Jesus-centered church in this city. We love you. We are praying for you. May Jesus reveal himself to you and through you today in a special way. Be blessed. Amen.